creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
That is by a gentleman called Jeff Russo, and the song is, well, the track is called Vanya. And we are talking Vanya, in fact, Uncle Vanya, and to give it its full title, Uncle Vanya, Scenes from Country Life in Four Acts. Only Chekhov can write a title like that. And to tell us more about Uncle Vanya, which is being performed at the Lace Market Theatre Monday the 13th to Saturday the 18th of April, is the director, Cynthia Marsh. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you, Kev.
Lovely stuff, and happy Easter as well.
Thank you, and you.
You've not been eating too many Easter eggs for breakfast, have you?
No, I'm not on chocolate now.
Oh, right. Yeah, chocolate it can be a little bit overrated after about four or five eggs. So, anyway, let's talk Uncle Vanya. Now, for those who may not know Chekhov or his work so well, what is the story of Uncle Vanya?
Well, it's set in the late 19th century. The play was written at the end of the 19th century. And it's about a family who live in the provinces of Russia. Interestingly enough, in the area that is now between Russia and Ukraine, the disputed territories, in other words. But they are an educated family, and they live on in the country on an estate, which I think we would today call a farm. It really is. They derive their income from farming and selling their produce. And part of the family lives in St. Petersburg. And the story is that St. Petersburg branch of the family, from the capital of Russia at the time, are on a summer visit. And it raises all the tensions and the conflicts that sometimes happen in families when they get together in the summer. So that's the context of the story. The broader context is that the man who comes from St. Petersburg is Vanya's brother-in-law. He had been married to his sister, Vanya's sister, who died 11 years before. And this time he has come with a very beautiful young wife. He's remarried, and he brings that young wife with him, and she becomes a center of an entanglement of love affairs. Vanya has fallen in love with her. His friend Dr. Astrov is also out to either seduce her and indeed love her as well. And she is really not interested in either of them. And as Vanya puts it, remains faithful to her husband, unfortunately. But at the same time, she has a number of problems of her own. She is not happy. She's a great deal younger than her husband, who's an academic, a university professor of philosophy, and is about to retire. So she has come on this country visit and discovers she doesn't like living in the country. She wants the urban life of St. Petersburg. So there are a lot of frustrations here. Vanya, by definition, is an uncle, Uncle Vanya. And he lives on the estate with his mother, the farm estate, with his mother and his niece, that is the daughter of his sister. It's quite complicated familial relationships here. And that she is Sonia. Now, where Yelena is beautiful, well-dressed, from the capital, Sonia is plain. She works on the farm. She helps her uncle run the farm. They have quite a hard life, in fact. And so Sonia and Yelena, the wife from St. Petersburg, don't get on at first, but gradually they come together. But that coming together makes a lot of tension, because by that time, Astrov, the friend of Vanya, the doctor, has fallen in love with Yelena, and Sonia has always thought of him as a potential husband for her. So you can see there's a tangle of a web of relationships here, played out not only with emotion, some anger, but also with wonderful elements of farce in them. And it's that combination in Chekhov which is really essential to his writing, that ability to entertain, make people laugh, but also to give them something to think about and indeed to cry about. So laughter and tears are never far away from one another in Chekhov's plays. Does that give you an idea of the story? The outcome is quite sad because Vanya gets so angry with the situation, the fact that his love is not being returned. He gets very angry with the professor because he just dislikes him so much, and what he wants his wife, Vanya wants his wife, that there's a big crisis two-thirds of the way through, a big family row, one of those real rows that you always remember all your life, because the professor wants to sell the farm so that they have some more capital to live on, but he's not taking into account that that would make Vanya and Sonia and Vanya's mother and the close servants of the family homeless. So Vanya is absolutely infuriated about that, and the whole climax is exciting. I don't want to give any spoilers, it's very exciting, but it leads to Vanya being left in the countryside, totally isolated, only with Sonia for his to carry on working on the farm as they always have done, in order to support the professor and his beautiful wife in St. Petersburg.
You see,
it's a tangled family story. Do you want me to go on, Kev? I'm sitting here talking away.
No, I'm fascinated listening to it. I mean, I've seen the play before, but I'm so pleased that you said that there's a, you know, the comedy element in there as well, because
absolutely,
some people view Chekhov as quite a depressive writer. But as you've said, there's quite a bit of comedy in there.
There is, yes.
I mean, looking online, I can see that you've been credited as adapting and translating the play as well. I mean, that must have took some time. How long did it take you to actually, first of all, to translate that Russian play?
Well, I've worked all my life in teaching as a Russian specialist, and now I'm very retired now, so it's a wonderful thing to do in one's retirement. But the history of the translation of this play is actually, for me, in my personal life, is quite interesting. I first translated it during the pandemic, which is now, what, 4 or 5 years ago. And at that time, we couldn't run the lace market. We were excluded from it. And I adapted it into an online production, which was absolutely fascinating to do. We were using technology we'd never used before. And there were 7 people in that cast. I cut down the number of characters. And we had 7 people around the Nottingham area, and indeed one more remote, in their bedrooms or their small living rooms or their studies or wherever. And we joined them all together through digital means into a production of Uncle Vanya. It was extraordinary. It was something that opened my eyes to the potential of that. And at the time, I thought I was really feeling I would love to direct this play on stage. So after the pandemic, I readapted it back to a stage version, my translation of it, and retranslated it and updated it a bit, because when I'd done it before, I hadn't thought about really updating it. So the language that is used is not anything stilted. Well, there's a bit of stiltedness in it because of the terminology of the late 19th century. It's up to date language. It's modern, because I think this play, and I'll tell you why, this play has an awful lot to say about Russia today, which is quite unusual. I don't think Chekhov is often seen in that capacity. First of all, there's the geographical location, as I've mentioned, which is in that disputed area between Ukraine and Russia. Of course, it was part of the Russian Empire at the time that Chekhov wrote the play. But Chekhov was an extremely sensitive man, highly educated. He was a doctor, as you may know, and he incorporated some of that experience into the figure of the doctor in the play. But he'd been... this was 1896, he wrote it. In 1890, you may all not know this, he'd gone right across Siberia to an island off the far eastern seaboard of what was then the Russian Empire, called Sakhalin, which is just north of Japan. And on that island was a penal colony. And Chekhov had gone there to do some research on the conditions that the convicts and the political prisoners were kept under on the island at the time. Pretty brutal conditions. His idea was to write a treatise that would, at postgraduate level, which would give him a foothold in academic life. Didn't quite turn out like that. He made this, it's a thousand, more than that, it's 2,000 kilometer journey, which he did on foot. The Trans-Siberian Railway was on paper at that time, but wasn't built to the mid-1890s. So he traveled, not literally on foot, but he was in carriages and on boats, and he made his way. It took him 3 months to get there from Moscow. And he came back, a magnificent trip. He came back via the circular route up through till he got back to the Mediterranean and then back into Russia. A fantastic trip. But he put in the treatise that he wrote in the next couple of years, but it was turned down. So he published it, but it clearly had a huge impression on him because he saw the effects of people living, for example, some of the prisoners were in solitary confinement. Some, I got a picture of some of the others who were chained to wheelbarrows, their own wheelbarrows that they used for forced labor during the day so that they couldn't escape. And all sorts of details like that came into his report. Now, out of that comes this sense of isolation in the Russian provinces, which was going on very much in Russia at that time and still is. So Vanya is very much a Russian provincial hero. And the still is about it is that the only voice we hear coming out of Russia at the moment is from the capital cities. It's from the Kremlin. It's from the powers that be. There are 145 million people in Russia still. We never hear that provincial voice. And it's that those provincial millions who've supplied the soldiers to fight in the current war. So that, and when the play was published and first performed in about 1897, 88, it was then became very famous as a Stanislavski production. People wrote to him from the Russian provinces saying, this is the first time that we've had somebody give us a proper voice that can be articulated on the Russian stage. So in its time, it made an impact in that way. And I think today it can make an impact in that way for all the people who are making all the sacrifices at the moment in attempt to, say, have an oppositional voice in Russia, for which there is not one at all at the moment. And if Vanya is anything, he is a fighter. He tried to fight off the professor, his brother-in-law, to get rid of him. He hated him. He was an academic. Chekhov hated academics by that time. And then he ends up in that total isolation. There's very few services still in some of the remoter areas of the provinces in Russia. And Vanya ends up kind of imprisoned in the house that he has and the farm that he runs. So it's saying an awful lot about, it's asking the question, what is going on in the minds of people in Russia today? I have done a little bit of adaptation around the ending of the play to try and make that point. And I hope that those who come to see it will, if they don't understand all that context, at least will ask the question, why did the play, I've got Chekhov's ending, but I've slightly altered the clothes they're wearing and so on. So at the end, there is a sense that we're up to date. And in a way, the play is in memory of Alexei Navalny, the activist who died in an Arctic polar penal colony 2 years ago, this February. And he refused to give up and lived in almost complete isolation in prison for the last 2 years of his life. So in a sense, that was one of the inspirations to me, seeing this in Uncle Vanya. It wasn't only, Chekhov wasn't only an activist. He raised money for cholera epidemics. He, in fact, bought a farm not far from Moscow for his family to be supported on because they'd become bankrupt, and he supported them that way. But he was also, there was a terrible incident in 1896 when he was writing the play to celebrate the coronation of the Russian Tsar. Sorry, I'm going a long way from, is this going too far into the context, Kev? I can stop if you want me to.
It's given a really nice background of it, and of Chekhov himself.
What happened was in 1896, the Tsar set up a celebration for the people of the coronation because he'd just become the new Tsar. And it happened on what's called the Hadinka Field, which is in Moscow, outside Moscow. Thousands of Russians went there. Ordinary Russian people went because they were offering, as we've done at coronations in our country, free mugs and pieces of cake and things like that. But there was a stampede when the gates were opened for people to come in. And the powers that be hadn't paid enough attention to the security aspects of it all. And some 2,000 people were killed. And I think it's recorded that Chekhov was deeply, deeply upset by this. And it's a kind of reflection, not simply on the humanitarian side, but on the incapability of the powers that be to organize anything so which should have been a joyous celebration. So that gives you some idea. It's very difficult to get at Chekhov's politics because he's a very reticent man.
Absolutely.
But if you look into the kind of experiences he was having at the time, his parents living on the farm, his experience of therefore farm, he lived there as well as a farm working, but he was a writer and a doctor, so he had the professional salaries coming in. His trip to the penal colony and this incident in Moscow at the time of the coronation all affected his writing of the play Uncle Vanya.
There's a lot to take in there with Chekhov, and
isn't there?
Yeah, and he's one of those writers that they draw theatre lovers to the theatre, and I'm sure that it's going to draw a massive audience there to come and see it. How are tickets going, and how can people get tickets, Cynthia?
You get tickets by going online to Lace Market Theatre, www.lacemarkettheatre.co.uk, and you can book online. Or the box office, you can phone the theatre, and the box office is open on Friday evening and Saturday lunchtime. Or you can, we haven't sold out. I think there's one performance that's sold out already. So you could probably go along we never sell very well on the Saturday night sometimes, and sometimes the first night is low. So you can get in by going along to the theatre if you turn up a little bit early, because you'll have to buy a ticket. But you can ring the theatre itself and book. As I say, the box office is manned on Friday evenings and Saturday lunchtimes. I'm just going to go to my other room to get the phone number for you, Kev. Would that be a help?
It's okay. We can sort the phone number out. I can pop
You've got the phone number.
Yeah, no problem.
Great.
So, get down there, get your tickets, because this is going to be a fascinating piece of theatre. It's Uncle Van.
I think you'll also love the stage design.
I know. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. I can't wait to see it it's all completed.
It's a great piece of work by Steve Musson, and we've been building it for the last 2 weeks, really, I suppose.
Brilliant. It's Uncle Vanya. It's at the Lace Market Theatre, Monday the 3rd to Saturday the 18th of April. You got a week.
Monday the 13th.
What did I say?
3rd.
Did I say Monday the 13th? It's going to be a long run.
It's engraved on my soul, Ken.
And to say we're on the 5th already. So Monday the 13th to Saturday the 18th of April. It's Uncle Vanya. I've seen it before. I saw the online edition of it about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's a brilliant story. It's very captivating. Thank you so much, Cynthia. It's been an education this morning. I've learned a lot. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the Easter Sunday. And
thank you.
And I'm down there on the 13th, not the 3rd. I'm down there on the 13th of April.
I look forward to seeing you, Kev.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Cynthia.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery. and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.